Black Recovering Addict. I need to tell y'all I'm really nervous, and but I was sitting next to the speaker next to me, and he was so nervous too. I was like, well, I'm in the right place, right? And I was like, oh man, this is step three, so I ain't supposed to be having no fear no more, because I made that decision to turn my will and care over to God of my own understanding. So, you know. And actually, I just finished that step this morning. And that's for the third time. Because I had to, well, it was that first time when I was using, I had came to the end of the road, and I was like, God, if you could just get me out of this dilemma, out of this using stuff, you know, like, I was done using. I was skin and bones. I was, my face was gray. My nose was black. I didn't have no teeth. I didn't have no hair. I didn't have no hope. I was hopeless, and I couldn't get off E. It just had got ugly, you know. Using just wasn't cute no more. It wasn't pretty no more. And I remember just asking God, please, if you could just keep, you know, help me stop using, and I'll never use again. And that was the first time that I ever surrendered to my disease, I would say, because I thought that I was able to use successfully. I thought I was a functional addict for a long time. I didn't make it to the rooms till I was 42 years old. I have 19 years, 1 month, and 20 days clean. You know, I did make it to the rooms. I've never been in a program. I kicked right here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I've never been on a methadone program. I never went to a 28-day detox. I just came right to y'all. And y'all showed me a new way to live. And I thought that I had worked the third step early on in recovery. And I thought that I had got a relationship with a God of my own understanding. But I didn't realize that I didn't turn everything over. Everything over. I didn't realize that I didn't turn my money, my finances over, my relationship. No, I wanted to still be in control of some stuff. And last year in recovery, my 18th year, was a real dark year for me because I, you know, when they ask you to remove the mask and you don't remove the mask, and then your mask get yanked off of you. I mean, not just that you take it off slowly and gently, that they just get yanked off. And when they get yanked off, it leave a lot of open sores and scars and wounds. And now you got to face people, and they see you for who you really are, the people pleaser you are. And the fake and the fraud that you are, and you were just perpetrating the fraud all the time. And, you know, I wanted to be fatally hip and terminally cool, you know. But I didn't know that if I just followed the steps, I would be suave, you know, just suave. And that step three have helped me to be suave. It have taken, like, the nervous, shaky person that I really am and made me a cool, calm, collected person for the most part. I'm so nervous that in the beginning of my life, I thought that I had I was always shaking. I must have been shaking from birth. I thought that I had a defect in my central nervous system, and I medicated it with dope. You know, dope was that cool, calm elixir that made me just feel comfortable in my own skin. So anyway, I was talking about last year and how my mask had got yanked off and everything. So I had to do things differently. I had to get a new sponsor. I had to do the steps over again. I had to admit that I was powerless all over again. I had to see the second step, the insanity that was in my mind. Like, talking about the voices in my own head. I had started to distrust my own network. My mind was telling me that my friends was my enemies and my enemies was my friends. I even had one of my own sponsors arrested because I thought she robbed me. But really, I had hid my jewelry from myself. So, after I found the jewelry, I had to go back and tell her that I found it. And all we could do was cry, and she was so happy that she had got her sponsor back. And I'm like, oh my God, you don't want to kill me. You don't want to hurt me. Like, you don't want to fight me. And all she did was just want to cry and just hug me and kiss me. And I wasn't understanding that. But she knew my heart. And I mean, I had deframed this girl. I talked about her in every meeting. I had everybody thinking that she was a thief. And it was all a fragment of my own imagination. That's just one thing that happened last year. So, of course, I had to go back to God because I wasn't handling this recovery thing too good by myself, as you can hear. And I had to surrender on a deeper level. I thought that I had a relationship with the God in my own understanding. Because I was going to church, I was praying for everybody, praying all day. But when it came down to the real whole scheme of things, and the room of Narcotics Anonymous are going through the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, I had to take another look. I had to go through the work, It Works, How and Why. And when I started doing the steps through It Works, How and Why, it became much clearer to me what was expected from me in this program, you know. And, you know, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And I wasn't willing. I had self-will going riot. If it wasn't my way, it was the highway. Still having tantrums with all these years clean. Can't grasp a new idea on a closed mind. All these things I had heard for 18, 19 years straight. But I wasn't even applying the program. And, you know, humble, I wouldn't even use that word. I thought that I was humble enough. But now I'm truly humble because there's really no other way to let God use you. I finally moved out of the way and let go. I finally surrendered to the program. I finally being really honest and letting y'all see just who I am. It's all right if I'm a shaky, nervous individual, because that big guy next to me was shaking right with me. So I said, I'm in the right place, you know, and I don't have to use a drug to ease the pain of living anymore. Because living is just not painful anymore. I made it to the rules of Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm having a wonderful time. And God, in my own understanding, is loving and caring, and He's been so good to me. And the disease would like me to look at the negatives, but my life is wonderful, and that's what I started doing, looking at other people's defects and wasn't looking at my own, and I played myself out of pocket doing that. You know, I looked up a decision and it said to make a better choice, you know, like if it's not working good, or what is the best thing to do? That's where you choose to do it better. And I choose to let the God of my own understanding be in control of my life. And I looked up care, and it said that he would be, or that the higher power would be taking over all of my affairs. It's something like when you get in an airplane and they say, you know, like, we all know we can't fly, but we know they're going to take us there. So they give us the meal, they set up the movie, they make us comfortable. And that's the type of letting go I got to do, because I am going to fly. This program is powerful. And I've done some stuff in here that I never thought, well, God did some stuff through me that I thought I would never do, right? And I just in awe of this program, and I want more of what this program has to offer. I have such a great support group, a great network, and that's what it talked about, turning over to a group of drug addicts, your support group, your sponsor, higher power, the higher power, God of your own understanding. And when I first came around, the God of your own understanding, it was italicized. It's not italicized in the steps anymore. But it inferred that you knew God, I knew God, that God, that I said, God, if you can help me get $10 and get off the E, I'll be, you know, I'll do anything. That God. And he always came through, because somebody always came to the door with $10 or a John, somebody come. and that God. So that means that we do know God, loving and caring preferably. Now I often hear people say, let your cheer be your God, and I say, oh, that's a silly thing. But that's not so silly, because if you could just plop your whole body down in a chair and know that you're gonna be safe, that's what they're talking about. It's like, some days I have to decide to turn my will and care over all day, every day, as I walk. One step walking, turn it over. The next step, let go, especially when I'm going to work, because I do a safety-sensitive job. They always want to hang you if you make a mistake, and I'm a nervous person. And it's like I'm going to push the red button or pull the plug, and the whole world's going to explode, and they're going to blame me. Well, I work for New York City Transit Authority, and I move trains. I flip them around, send them express, send them local. And sometimes I trip them and make them go into emergency, and that's not good. But I've done that, and they had me downtown and in front of the big dogs, and I asked God, and somehow or another, it all turns out to be that it was a mechanical problem, the machinery wasn't working right, and it wasn't my fault. And I'd be like, look at God. And so that just lets me know that I can relax and know that God is in charge and that He loves me. He plucked me out the muck and the mire, out the abandoned building. He, you know what, when I look around, the people that I use with, they're not here. They're gone. They didn't make it to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and hear this message. They didn't learn a new way to live. Some of their children I have to talk to and let them know that their parents loved them. Because I knew both of their parents, and their parents died in an active addiction. And I don't know why that God chose to save me from active addiction, because I was right out there using, right with them. You know, so many miracles have happened since I've been here. I can't help but to trust in God. I came in here hepatitis C positive, and I did not want to take interferon. I was not taking interferon. But they came out with Harvoni. And I sat here long enough to take Harvoni, and now I'm hepatitis C, no detection. Yeah. And I heard people in the room said that they took it. And now those pills cost like $1,000 a pill, and I took them for 90 days straight. And I was able to go to work, and then nobody wasn't none the wiser that I had was taking that medicine. So why wouldn't I believe a God of my own understanding. I went to a meeting one time, Flavor Clean and Alive. It's in Brooklyn. It's a big meeting, and I was supposed to share on a Thursday. And I didn't get a chance to share on it because I sort of went blank. Because I wanted to tell them about my God. I wanted to tell them about the religious God. And it was like God shut me down. This is a spiritual program, not a religious program. And I just didn't have the right words, so I said, if I could share on the third step today, what an honor and a privilege to redeem myself, to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous and not my mess. Because it's important. People, my sponsor said, what comes from the heart reaches the heart. And anyway, listen to this. They call my house. No, they called my husband's phone, his cell phone, and they had asked him if they knew me, if he knew me, and he said, no, I don't know her, and what are you talking about, and just cussed the people out, and they was like, oh, because we wanted her to speak in Ocean City, and so then he was like, oh, maybe I don't know, but it was too late. And so a few days later, he said, you know, we got a call from Ocean City, and they wanted you to speak. And I don't think they want you to speak now, because I cut them out so bad. So I thought about it. I was like, well, you know, it's okay and everything, because I'm humble now. And so a few days later, I said, well, do you still have that number to those people in Ocean City? And he gave me the number, and I called the lady, and she was like, oh, you are her? And I was like, yes. And she said, but your husband said he don't even know you. I was like, yeah, but I said, you want me to speak? So she said, we filled the position. I was like, oh, okay. And I said, well, is there any service I could do? So she said, well, you might could be a secretary or something, or we'll call you 15 minutes. If we don't get a speaker, you can share. So I was like, okay. So then after a while, she was like, well, you sound sweet and I like that husband of yours. She said, I would like to meet both of you. So last Saturday, I sat back. That's why they call. And they said, are you still interested in speaking in Ocean City? So I said, oh, yeah. So she said, rewind. So I said, oh, by the way, miss, what was my topic? And she said, loving him and losing you. I was like, oh, that was apropos. So, when the lady called me last Saturday and she asked me, would I like to speak? I said, yeah, you know, I would like to speak. Because, you know, I've been in recovery 19 years. I'm like, oh, everybody done spoke everywhere at a convention. I never spoke at a convention and all this old stuff. But, dude, I was, like, so nervous to share. But I have nothing to fear. No, just for the day. I have nothing to fear. I have a great life. You know, like I was telling you in the beginning, I came from abandoned buildings. And it wasn't nothing about me pretty. I was just bankrupt spiritually, physically, and mentally. And, you know, this program have filled in those voids for me. And I am only glad to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. It's so weird, like, when you go to your job or when you be around other people that don't know you in recovery and you start speaking the language to them and they be looking at you like, what are you, an angel or something? And I'll be like, no. Because the language of Narcotics Anonymous is so beautiful, like, more will be revealed. That made me keep coming, more will be revealed. You know, keep coming back, more will be revealed. And I just love this program, the people, the fellowship. You know, I I probably did 90 dances in 90 days, you know, and I'm still dancing, but I have to find my voice in this program because I want to help the still sick and suffering addict. I hear you guys speak so eloquently, especially this area, this Maryland, D.C. area. Gosh, y'all got a powerful message all in the South. Y'all be kicking it, you know, quoting literature and all. And I'm just in awe of this. I have fell in love with Narcotics Anonymous all over again. And my friends, they love me again, even though I had the character assassinated them and shot the wall up. And I'm a part of a network that's an awesome network. Master sisters and brothers that love me unconditionally in spite of myself, in spite of my mouth. Oh my goodness. I have no filter on my mouth. It is terrible. I don't know. I gotta get better with that. I better start quoting literature too. I have never spoke this long ever in recovery because I'm always used to getting the time sign or something. Oh man, it was just starting to be fun. But it looks like I got 5 more minutes though. So I want to say that that's a great decision that I made and hope that you guys will make it too, because I talked about the insanity going up in my head by myself. It was, y'all told me it was a dangerous neighborhood and not to go up in my head by myself, but I didn't know that my head was worse than any room full of people or any scary movie or any dark abandoned building that I ever been in. You know, I don't never want to confuse myself up like that again. You know, sheesh. It's so good to be clean, serene, happy, joyous, free. There's still a lot of stuff I got to work on. I mean, maybe after I leave here, I won't buy shoes no more. Because maybe I had emptied out enough, because these 3 steps, they just empty you out, throw you up, throw it up, get it out, so that God can start using me, us, to carry the message to the addict who's still sick and suffering, so that they can, so we can be attractive, not with the muck in the mind, not with all of that angriness, with all of that fear, so that the light of God can shine through us. And he does that. I'm just seeing so many wonderful people. I've been to this convention a few times, but I never been to this convention. Because I would stay in my room, or I would just make a meeting. I went and hugged. To be in a room full of people and feel by yourself is not a great feeling. But I don't feel like that today, though. And that's because of turning my life, making a decision, just a decision, you know, and I, like I said, I'm make it going and coming. And I'm going to make it walking. And with that, thanks for letting me share.